Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Well, in a curious way, his legacy will be less jurisprudential than it will be political, because Souter, of course, was nominated to the court by the first President Bush back in 1990 at the urging of Bush's chief of staff, John Sununu. And at that time, Republicans were concerned with the nomination of Robert Bork to the Supreme Court, having gone down in defeat by the Democrats a couple years earlier. The problem that Republicans saw was, well, Bork had, a paper trail that the Democrats could use to discredit him during the nomination process. So the idea was, we're going to nominate someone who doesn't have a paper trail, because Souter was pretty obscure. He had, been on the New Hampshire Supreme Court. He had been the Attorney General of the state of New Hampshire. But even during his years on the New Hampshire Supreme Court, he really never had occasion, given what the New Hampshire Supreme Court normally hears, the cases it hears, he really never had the occasion to comment either jurisprudentially or in speeches or addresses on a lot of the cutting edge issues. So he was thought in many ways to be the perfect, what they referred to as a stealth nominee. And he was confirmed by the Senate by a vote of 90-9, even though, ironically, given his subsequent history on the court, ironically, women's groups and the NAACP strongly opposed his nomination. So he then gets on the court, and it turns out that, like a number of Republican appointees going back to the Eisenhower years, starting with Earl Warren, Harry Blackmun, an appointee of Republican President Richard Nixon, and John Paul Stevens, appointed by President Gerald Ford, another Republican, those individuals, once they got on the court, swung dramatically to the left. And that was the case with Souter. Because while he's not particularly known for his majority opinion on a lot of cutting edge issues, he generally, during his years on the court, he voted with liberals on issues like affirmative action, on abortion. It was Souter, along with Justices O'Connor and Kennedy, who in 1992, in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, upheld the heart of Roe versus Wade, women having the right to choose to have an abortion. And he co-authored the joint opinion issued by the three of them. And he also voted with the majority in the affirmative action cases in 2003, upholding the constitutionality of affirmative action in higher education. Ironically, he lived long enough to see his major votes on those cases reversed toward the end of his life, the last couple of years, with the court's decision a couple of years ago, basically reversing Roe versus Wade, and also the court's decisions in the cases involving Harvard and the University of North Carolina, holding that affirmative action in higher education was unconstitutional. So he generally had a very liberal voting record, not always. He, of course, famously was one of the dissenters in Bush versus Gore, the case that, of course, decided really the 2000 contested election with Florida. He served 19 years on the court. Personally, of course, he was known to be a bit of an odd duck, as he's been characterized. He didn't enjoy living in Washington. In fact, at the what by Supreme Court standards is the very young age of 69, He retired from the court in 2009 after 19 years service, went back to New Hampshire. He was famously known for, you know, leading a very ascetic existence. During his years on the court, you know, he ate plain yogurt and an apple at his desk every day, didn't even like to turn the lights on. But having said that, he was, by all accounts, a very nice man. I know that some years ago when I did my annual trip with students from Canisius to Washington, D.C. to visit the Supreme Court, one of my former students was then clerking for Justice Scalia, of course, a very conservative justice. And he said to me, "You might not think it, but among the Supreme Court law clerks generally, Souter is personally regarded as the nicest individual on the court." Got along well with his colleagues. After he retired, moved back to New Hampshire, didn't do a lot of speech making or traveling, was known for being very bookish, resistant to technology. Alone among the justices on the court, he wrote his opinions out longhand. Didn't have a cell phone or a computer, even at the end of his life, so far as I know. So his impact on the court, he certainly, like all justices, had an impact. One area I would single out, he was strongly in favor of upholding Thomas Jefferson's famous metaphor that there's a wall of separation between the church and state. And in a number of significant cases, he wrote opinions adhering to that. The McCreary case back in, before he retired, having to do with a challenge to Kentucky courthouses placing the Ten Commandments on the wall in the courthouses. And Souter wrote a famous opinion striking that down, claiming or concluding that that violated the First Amendment's, the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. And he generally voted that way. In another case, Lee versus Weissman, which involved a challenge to saying prayers by a minister or a rabbi at graduation, a public graduations, public school's graduation ceremony, he voted with a majority to strike that down. So that was one area in which he consistently voted and certainly made some impact on the court.
What will future justices take from Souter?
Well, I think what they'll take from Souter is, again, those on the court, even though the court since Souter retired, another area in which the court has gone to the right with President Trump's appointees during his first term, the court has more or less repudiated the strong wall of separation approach that Souter adopted. And yet there are justices on the court like Justice Kagan, Justice Sotomayor, who replaced Justice Souter when he retired, who continue to adhere to that perspective. And one never knows with changes in membership on the court, what had been, what are now his minority opinions or what were his dissenting opinions could be in the majority. I would also note, and this would be part of his legacy, that he was a strong proponent of First Amendment freedom of speech rights. And that was true in a number of his decisions, in some areas, from a liberal perspective, surprising. For instance, in the Hurley case, which involved the question of whether the organizers of the St. Patrick's Day parade in Boston could exclude a float by a gay and lesbian organization. Souter upheld that on First Amendment grounds, stating that organizations had the First Amendment right to include or exclude from their public activities individuals or groups whose message they did not agree with. I would note that Souter retired very early in President Obama's first administration. And getting back to what I had said about Republican appointees who were disappointment to the justices or to the presidents who appointed them, Souter, true to form, he chose to retire right after a Democratic president took office, rather than retiring when Bush was still president, thereby giving a Democratic successor the opportunity to name a replacement presumably he was confident that Obama would name someone who was fairly liberal, which he did, because Sotomayor was Souter's replacement.